Talks about the Arbi and says the one after another, each one is close to the Ruchnius. Offer is the furthest of Ruchnius, that's why it's the darkest. Then comes water, that's why light could go through it. Then you have air that you can't even see. And you have fire, that it's Machala, it destroys all Gashmius. That's the Lashon of Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up on Har Sinai to be Mekabel Torah, so Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim. He started up by climbing up a mountain, but then he continued going further. And he went from one level to another level until he was able to exist same olam as Malachim existed. His body must, you know, the Pasuk says there was an Anan, there was a cloud on the mountain. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a world with Hashpa Milamala, that any bracha in the world has to come from somewhere else. It comes from somewhere else. The world itself can't function as a self-contained unit. There has to be a bracha from somewhere else. The bracha is mainly in rain. It's mainly in rain. Rain comes down from Shemayim, then it gets a Lavush. When I say come down, I don't mean directionally. Coming down means that it goes down a Madrega. You have Ruchnius took a rain. Ruchnius took a rain is life. Kadosh Baruch Hu creates a life force that can instill life in creation. And it goes through a series of stages until it has a levush on it. That the life goes through a series of stages that it gets. Step by step, gets less Ruchni and more Gashmi. The raindrop is the cloak of Chiyus, of life. Life cannot be seen, can't be smelt, can't be touched. The raindrop could. The raindrop carries within it the life force that Kadosh Baruch Hu created. The same way that the body has a soul. A raindrop has a soul. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a spiritual creation called life. And that spiritual creation gets more and more physical in a series of stages until it has a guf to it. And the guf is the raindrop. And it goes into the aretz, penetrates the aretz, and fills the aretz with chiyus. The process of Ruchnius becoming Gashmius is a process which is beyond our capability of understanding. Even if we can understand Ruchnius, which is quite an achievement, and we claim to understand Gashmius, which I'm not at all certain we do, but there's certain things we know about Ruchnius, and there's certain things we know about Gashmius. But the transition between Ruchnius and Gashmius is beyond us. Because Ruchnius, the only way to define Ruchnius is that it's not Gashmius. And the way to define Gashmius is it's distant from Ruchnius. So as far as we know, they're polar opposites. They're extremes. To the extent that something is Gashmius, it's not Ruchni. So how does one change into the other? And that's a mystery. And mysteries have to be cloaked. So that's the set of clouds. Because the cloud is a mechitza between the Alyanim and the Tachtanim. Clouds is where a transition could take place, hidden from the eyes of man. That's the set of clouds. Moshe Rabbeinu, he climbed on Arsini, he went through a cloud, and in that cloud something happened to him that enabled him to bring his goof up to Shemayim and exist in Shemayim with his goof. But he did what no other man was able to do. He brought his physical goof up to Shemayim.
Eliyahu was different?
Similar. I mean, if you're referencing the Shimshon Shir, that's an excellent reference. Ooh. And the Malach. What Daniel is mentioning is that when Menach, the father of Shimshon, and his wife, they had an encounter with the Malach. There was an angel that told them of the birth of Shimshon. So Menach took a gedi, a sheep, which is gematria tov. He put the gedi on a matzeva, on a rock. And according to one shot, the fire came down from Shemayim. According to another pshat, the Malach brought the fire out of the rock. And the fire consumed the sheep. It was a carbon oil. And then the Malach went into the fire and he went up to Shemayim in the fire. This Malach, before he jumped into the fire, looked like a person. And Menach and his wife, they weren't sure whether it was a person or not. When the Malach jumped into the fire and the Malach went up in flames, then they realized it wasn't a person. And the Navi says that they thought they were going to die. So why did they think they were going to die? Because they saw something that a human being can't see. Physical turning into spiritual. I mean, this is the line of reasoning. If they saw something that a human being can't see, and they saw it, then they can't be human. That means they're going to die. That's why they were wrong on my side. But that's what their thought process was. So the Mepharshim, they cross-referenced Eliyahu Navi when he died. So he went up in a chariot of fire to Shemayim, and his Tom and Elisha was able to see it. And Eliyahu Navi told Elisha, if you see this, then you're going to have twice my ability in Nevuah. If you don't see it, then you'll be Elisha. But if you see it, you're going to have Pishnaim for my hide. Because I'll say, what was he referring to? What's Pishnaim? What's double hode? Double hode is that Eliyahu Nabi was able to be Mechayim Mason once. And Elisha was able to be Mechayim Mason twice. Mimchai Mesim means you're able to. The pasuk says about Tzkiyas Mesim. The Gemara Sanhedrin brings a pasuk about Tzkiyas Mesim. Vani machatzti, vani erpa. I made a mechitza, and I'm going to heal the mechitza. So Tzkiyas Mesim is referring to healing a mechitza. Death is a mechitza. There's a mechitza between Shemayim and Eretz, body and soul. And Asadlava, Hashem is going to heal the breach. It's going to be merapit, and there won't be a breach. There won't be a separation between Shemayim V'aretz. So Tzkiyas HaMesim represents Chibur Shemayim V'aretz, to be able to combine Shemayim V'aretz. So Eliyahu Navi told Elisha, if you see my body becoming spiritual, then you're able to see both stages. You're able to see me as a physical person, and then my body goes through a transition and becomes spiritual. Are you able to see that also? So if you're able to see both worlds, so then you are someone that you're going to be able to join both worlds. Seeing both worlds, seeing Eliyahu's body assume a spiritual form, so that means that if you could see that, and seeing means understanding, so then you'll be able to do Tzkiyas HaMesim, which is rejoining the body with the spirit. We go to the Pishnayim. That's what Daniel meant. And he was right. He was right. So Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim with his goof. He went to a cloud. In the cloud, that's where hidden things take place. And his goof was able to survive in Shemayim without any food, without any water. And there was a debate between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim. The Malachim said, "Tnu haidcha al Shemayim. Take your haid, your haid." Haid means, they're referring to the Torah. They call the Torah haid. They said, "Kadosh Baruch Hu, leave it in Shemayim. Don't give it. What are you giving it? This is what this Torah, you created it. Tuf Kuf Ayin Dal, 974 generations before the world was created. Tuf Kuf Ayin Dal. And you're going to give it to Bnei Adam?" So Hashem told Moshe. Moshe, answer them. Moshe, tell them. You tell them. And Moshe said, "I'm afraid. Shem Yisrafuni Bahavopim. They're going to burn me with the Havopim, with the exhalations of their mouth." Hashem told Moshe, "Hold on to my kisei hakavod and answer them." There's so much to learn about this Gemara. We're not going to go into all the pratim. If you want, we can do it. Remind me at a future date. But Moshe Rabbeinu responded. He held on to the kisei hakavod. He responded. What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean? They're going to burn me with the havel pi, and they're going to burn me with the exhalations of their mouths. It's like Malachim have fire breath.
The dragons.
Right. I'm just saying, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Malachim have fire breath. They're going to burn me. It's like they have a weapon. They have an arsenal. They have something they can use. They're going to get... They're going to take me out. They're going to take me down. And they're going to use this against me. That's not how you learn a Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that I don't belong here. I have a body. Bodies stay in Gashmistika places. And souls belong in Ruchnistika places. Angels, they don't have a physical body. At all. They are the antithesis. They are the opposite of anything physical. If I have a dialogue with them, if I connect with angels, connecting with angels is taking spiritual and connecting with physical. Spiritual does not tolerate physical. It doesn't. Physical covers over God. That's what physical does. Physical covers over God. That's the function of physical. Spiritual doesn't tolerate that. God has to be everywhere. Angels don't tolerate it. Moshe is afraid. If his body comes in contact with an angel, his body has to cease to be, because the property of angels is that nothing could exist that's physical that could hide God's presence. It can't. And that's what physical does. You understand what I'm saying? Angels are fire. The properties of fire is that nothing physical could come in contact with fire and remain. The fire destroys it. The fire burns it apart. The fire disintegrates it. That's the property of fire. Fire has the property of Malachim. Fire is the property. It's not. Fire is physical, but it has the property. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, "Hold on to my kisei hakavod." What does that mean? It means your physical is not physical. It's a temporary state. The core of a Jewish person is spiritual. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the neshama of Klal Yisrael before he created the body of Klal Yisrael. And the, that's what the Kisei HaKavod represents. The Kisei HaKavod is not a chair. It's not a chair. Kisei HaKavod is a throne. And what does the throne represent? It's a way of being mamluch the melech. If you want to be mamluch the melech, you want to coronate the melech, you put him on a chair. On the throne. You ever heard the story about the Red King and the Blue King? The Red King had this beautiful throne. The Red King had this beautiful throne, and the Blue King, he mounted a campaign against the Red King. He tried to take over his whole kingdom, and he's going to take away the throne. And the Red King's army, they fought valiantly, to defend the throne, to defend the king, to defend the kingdom. But they succumbed to the greater numbers of the Blue King, and the greater skill, and the greater weapons. And when everything looked hopeless, and the palace was going to be overrun, they said, quick, grab the throne. And the king's retainers grabbed the throne, and they ran with it into the forest. The Red King's soldiers were hot in pursuit, and they came to a grass hut, and there was an old man in the grass hut. He was loyal to the Blue King. He said, quick, we have to find, could you protect us? Could we find refuge, sanctuary inside of your hut? He said, sure, what do we do with the throne? He said, put it on the roof. They'll never find it. So they put it on the roof. They went in. They hid there. The soldiers of the Red King came, and they went in there. They said, where's the throne? And they said, oh, I don't know. I don't see any thrones. I don't know where it is. And all of a sudden, the weight of the throne was too much for the hut, the grass hut. It fell through the ceiling, right on the ground, right in front of the soldiers, and they took it, and they returned happily with the throne. Well, that's the end of the story, but there's a moral to the story. What's the moral?
Oh, no.
People with grass houses shouldn't steal thrones. Kisei HaKavod is not a chair. It's not a chair. It's a throne. That means it's a vehicle. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. I mean, it's a metaphor. There's no throne up there with animals around it. You know, like, it's a metaphor that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created a spiritual creation called a vehicle. That through this, a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be proclaimed as the king of the world. What's the throne? What's the throne really? The souls of Klal Yisrael is the throne. What it really is, the souls of Klal Yisrael. We call it a throne. Kisei HaKavod is the souls of Klal Yisrael. And any Jew, anyone that's a Jew, his soul comes from this spiritual creation, which is called a throne.
So what does that mean, grab onto the throne?
Because Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you see, very few people in their form, in their bodily form, identify with the root of their spirituality. The spirit of a person, when it's created by Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's created with all the unique talents, capabilities that the person's going to need when he comes down on this earth to reveal God as the king of the world. And then it's put together with the body. And what's supposed to happen is that the body's supposed to recognize that I have this beautiful soul inside of me, and it gives me very unique capabilities. It gives me unique capabilities, abilities, tools to reveal God as the king of the world. And the body's supposed to go and do that. And what happens is, in many cases, maybe not in your case, certainly in many cases, is that the body wakes up, says, hey, I've got this wonderful soul, supposed to reveal God as king of the world, and the body says, that ain't cool. I'm going to make myself the king of the world, or at least the king of my self. The body and the soul, they get together. The combination of body and soul in this world don't always identify with what lies at the root of a person. They don't always identify with the role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has picked out when Hashem created the soul. Every single individual that entered this world, and will enter this world, entered this world with a plan. And every single soul that enters this world, and will enter this world, messes up. Including Adam Marishan. Adam Marishan had the greatest chance. Messes up. And we don't identify with what was created in the time before our bodies were created, which we'll call the Kisei HaKavod. We don't identify with it. And there are those that they look at themselves primarily as physical beings, and they happen to have a neshama in order to animate the physical body, because a physical body without a neshama is pretty boring. So the primary is the physical body, and the physical needs, and the physical wants, and the physical stuff. And the neshama just enables the physical pleasures to be chased after and eventually attained. That's wrong. That's a mismatch. Moshe Rabbeinu was not such a person. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a complete match between the highest elements of his soul and his body. They're on the same page. If they're on the same page, then his body isn't limited to the physical, the nature of the physical. It's not limited. It's not mugbol with the derech hateva, because his body is a perfect match with his soul. And that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu told him. You're someone that your body could. Hashem told Moshe, your body could hold on to the Kisei HaKavod, and when you do that, so then you are linking with I'll call it a place, because for lack of a better word, but you're linking with the place where your soul was created, before your body was created. When Kadosh Baruch Hu first conceived Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem created a spirit. Moshe Rabbeinu's spirit, and that spirit is what we call the Kisei HaKavod. It is the Kisei HaKavod. And your body, Baruch Hashem, you used your body together with that original plan, with that spirit. So that means that your body and your soul are perfectly fused. You can hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. If you do that, then Malachim can't burn you, because your Gashmius is not really Gashmius. His Gashmius was not Gashmius. Because his Gashmius didn't hide the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Malachim don't have to burn it. The Malachim only burn something that hides the Kadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, this Bala Avayis Ayra, the house of Moshe Rabbeinu, his parents' house, he was born, it's filled with light. And it's not physical light. His body was not a normal body. It never was. So Hashem said to Moshe, obviously, this is called Naliyah. He was an Ayla his whole life in order to perfect everything. And this is like, Hashem says, you have one more stage. Go, you can steig, even greater. Take that next step. Steig even more. Perfect your body more, and then you become in contact with the Kisei HaKavod, and they can't burn you. Ish is the side. Ish is a mechala. Ish consumes Gashmius. Ish is the furthest you can get from Gashmius is Ish. And then the Makom Beis Hamikdash. The Makom Mikdash is not even Ish. The Makom Beis Hamikdash is not from this world. You know, it's funny, in Parshas Vayikra, Yaakov Avinu went to sleep on the Makom Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi said, what happened when he went to sleep on the Makom Beis HaMikdash? All of Eretz Yisrael folded up under him. He was like, don't even try and imagine this. What happened to all the people? All of Israel, you know, it all folded up on the Yaakov Avinu was sleeping in all of Eretz Yisrael. He was in the Makom HaMikdash. Again, we know very little, if not absolutely nothing, about how such a thing could happen. But there's one thing we know, it's not a physical process. It's not a physical process. Physically, it's impossible to take an entire country and fold it up under one person and then unfold it and just like pat it down just the way it was before, you know. Oh, there's a little wrinkle on somebody's bed over there. Smooth it out, you know. Make sure everything goes back. The Makom HaMikdash is not physical. The concept of space was created when Hashem created the physical world. That concept that if you're in one place, so then you can't be in another place. We live with that. You know, you can't be in two places at one time. Because that's what Makom is. Makom is if you're here, you're not there. If you're there, you're not there. You know, my father says that you can never get there. If you're going on a journey, you can never get there. Because as soon as you get there, you're here. So it's very elusive to get there. You will never, ever get there. I guess my father, how you doing over there? He said, I wouldn't know. I'm here. He says, you know that. I said, Daddy, you know I fed you that line. How do you feel? With my hands. How'd you fast? Usually by not eating. Whatever, this is like typical. This is, in case you want to know what we talk about.
How'd you sleep?
I closed my eyes.
On my back.
I said, but this is a cheese grater. You don't even have a Kaddish. But there's a concept that if you're in one place, you can't be in another place at the same time. But that's only in the physical world. Hashem created that. And there's a reason why Hashem created a world like that. Because Hashem created a world where he puts you, it's like the start of a Lahabdal Elif Alfe million gazillion Lahabdalas. It's like the beginning of a board game. And you have to get from here to there. And sometimes you pick the card that sends you back 11 spaces. Sometimes you get married and you have kids and you're playing the game of life. You get the pink ones and the blue ones. You get a salary. Sometimes you have to go backwards and forwards. And you're advancing or you're going further away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he made us imperfect. And he made us imperfect for a reason, because we have to perfect ourselves. We have to be mastering ourselves. So we have to go from here to there. If we have to go from here to there, we have to go from here to there, that means even physically. Hashem created a world that you have to go from here to there, even if you never get there. You have to go from here to there. So Hashem created space, because the whole world is patterned after our journey. We have a journey. We have to arrive somewhere. We can't there. But in the Olam in Shemayim, there's no space, because there's no need for space, because you don't have to go anywhere because you're here. There's no theirs in Shemayim. There's just here. You don't go anywhere. You're here. You're Mekabel Schar. In Shemayim, what do? You're Mekabel Schar. So you can fold up a whole country under a person. So it doesn't take. It doesn't. There's no reason why not. The only reason why not is because how could so much take up so little? But there is no much and little. There's no space. There is no space. Hashem created light from the Makom HaMikdash. The Gemara Bava Basra says that Hurdus killed out the Talmid HaChachamim. Hurdus was not Jewish. He was an Eved Knani. He was owned by the kings of the Chashmonaim kings. He was the Eved of the Chashmonaim. And he wanted to rule. So he killed out all the Chashmonaim kings. Killed them all out. Every single one. There's no more Chashmonaim. He killed them all out. And he killed out the Talmid HaChachamim because he believed that the Talmid HaChachamim were his enemy. Which wasn't difficult to believe. He left one Talmid HaChachamim alive. Baba Ben Buta. And Baba Ben Buta was blind. Incognito, he went to Baba Ben Buta, he started a conversation with him. He said, what are we going to do about this herd, this fella? We got to off him, you know, we got to bump him off. There was a whole conversation. And Baba, of course we can't do that. And the herd says, no one will ever find out. We'll just off him. Let's go back him off. He's got a plan. And Baba Buddha says, people have a way of finding things out. The bird of the heavens, come over Shamayim Yelukas Hakol. The bird of the heavens, Hurdus could find out. And he kept on pushing him. He said, Melech b'mat acha al tekalel. You're not even allowed to curse a king in your mind. And like every single thing that Hurdus tried, he tried to compromise him. He was testing his loyalty. Like Baba Buddha, the point, not only wouldn't he plot against the king, he wouldn't even think about plotting against. He's a king, you can't mess with him. He said, if I would have known that Talmid HaChachamim were like this, I never would have killed him out. He didn't know. So he wanted to do tshuva, so they told him, you extinguish the light of the world, because the Talmid HaChachamim are the light of the world. That's light. So rebuild the light of the world. The Beis HaMikdash was in ruins, it was in shambles. It was a Churban. Build the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is called the light of the world. So we're making a comparison between the Talmid HaChachamim that he killed and the Beis HaMikdash. When we say the Talmid HaChachamim are light, we know what that means. That means that they illuminate our minds. That means the Beis HaMikdash also illuminates our minds. The Kadosh Baruch Hu created our from the Makom HaMikdash. The ability of our minds to be illuminated was created from the Makom HaMikdash. It's a special place. It's not Kashmir. So he ends off. That's why the Nes, which is the light of Shemayim coming down on Eretz, if it lasts for 8 days, it's a light from Shemayim coming down on Eretz. Hashem chose to have that happen in the Beis HaMikdash. It could have happened anywhere. Anais is amazing wherever it happens. It matters there, but Hashem chose to happen in the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash is the source of all light. It happened on Chof HaKislev because on Chof HaKislev that's when the balance between night and day starts shifting because it's the darkest time. The darkest time is Kislev, Tevis. And that's when the light starts being misgaber. And that's when the light comes. No, it's already Kislev. It's like Kislev, you know, it's coming around pretty quick. should be zakah to the iris of the hidden light. Before Adam Rishon was chayte, before Adam Rishon was thrown out of Gan Eden, actually. He was in Gan Eden for 36 hours. He was created on Chatzais on Friday. And he was there until Matzah Shabbos. And it was light for 36 hours. Adam Rishon did not see darkness for the first 36 hours of his creation. It was light for 36 hours straight. And then on Matzah Shabbos, all of a sudden the lights went off. As soon as Shabbos was over, there was no light. If the light was from the sun, then it would have gotten darker at night. The light wasn't from the sun. The light was from what was created under the Makom HaMizbeach. There's two sources of light. There's the sun, and then there's a light that Hashem created. That with that light, you could see anything. It's amazing. I'm just saying the properties of this light are not like the properties of any other light you've ever known. Like, you understand the concept of seeing with a light bulb. And you understand the concept of understanding with your mind. Say it? But in our minds, those are two different things. And they have something in common, because they both have to do with seeing. And that's certainly true. With the light of the sun, you can just see physical things. The light of the Torah, you see spiritual things. The light of those 36 hours was a light that you were able to see anything. Nothing was hidden. Someone that lived in a world that nothing was hidden. That means you could see through a sugya and you could see through walls. It's a pella. It's a mind-blowing concept. It's a light that sees through anything, physical or spiritual. It's a light. And it never shuts off. It's not like the sun that goes apart. The sun is a Kadosh Baruch Hu connected it with a source of light. And it shines something in our world and it can go away and it can move here and it can move there. But the Emes HaSheresh of light, that doesn't go away. 36 hours, and then Matzah Shabbos HaKadosh Baruch Hu switched the source of light for this world and gave it over to the sun and the moon and the stars. And this light HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid. It was Mechasit. Kislev is Oisiyah's case, which means Kisui, which is the hide. And Lamed Vav is 36. Kislev is the time when we could access the light that was there before Matzah Shabbos, the 36 hours of hidden light, we could access in Kislev. That means that when you learn during Kislev, your learning is going to have more hatzlacha. Take the opportunity to learn more during Kislev. You'll have more hatzlacha because the obstacles are not going to be there. The darkness that comes with learning, there's so much learning we do that comes with darkness. It's so hard. During Kislev, the light is shining. Understanding the events, understanding yourself, understanding your potential, understanding your chelik and the kisei are covered. Also, you could see anything you want. Kislev. Hashem should be zeichet to a chelik of a shkaidish. It's the start of a wonderful thing. The darkness is here. It's very dark. But in Mitzvah Hashem, if the Seder Hashanah follows the normal Seder Hashanah, it should start getting light now.